My guest today is Dave Goodison. He's the Canadian wing shooter with his own hunting show on hunting and on the Hunting and Fishing Network. He's also a retriever trainer with a DVD available, and he's competed in various competitions in both Canada and Europe. Here to talk about retrievers, hunting, and his TV show. Dave Goodison, welcome to you talking to me.
Well, thanks, Big JD. It's always a pleasure.
It's great to have you on the show, and may as well ask you right off the bat, what got you interested in hunting, and when did it start?
Well, that's an interesting question, Big JD. When I was a boy, I just thought I'd like the idea of it, and I got into it myself. Now, most of my friends, they get into the outdoors through their parents or a family member, and it wasn't like that with me. I went out. I liked the outdoors, always enjoyed the outdoors, bought my first gun, proceeded to figure out how to hunt, and had a high ethical standard in the beginning, even with no teacher, and just fell in love more with hunting as every day went by. And it's the one thing in my life that's really been stable for many, many years. I began fishing as a young boy, and then at about 16 switched over to hunting, and now in my mid-40s I'm still hunting strong.
Now, what types of weapons have you hunted with, and what do you hunt with now?
Well, my friends and I, we all hunt with various kinds of paraphernalia, mainly shotguns or rifles, but because we're a wing shooting show, we hunt a lot of fowl, all winged fowl, so it's partridge, pheasant, duck, and goose, and we like to use dogs in our everyday hunting. And a big percentage of my fun in hunting, and what I love about hunting, is the fact that I do use the dog, and there's that companionship between a well-trained dog and an ethical hunter, which is a very strong bond. Mm-hmm. But mainly we use shotguns. I had begun with a 12-bore shotgun, and a lot of people would know what that is, but recently I've been stepping down to a 20-bore over and under shotgun, so I have less shots, less power, and less chance basically to take game, because it's not really about taking game. It's about being out in the outdoors. And for sure, we go out there to harvest game. I enjoy partaking of the table fare after we hunt, but it's not just about that. It's about being out with friends. It's about being out with my dog and my well-trained dog. And it's about being in the elements and seeing things that people don't see. People don't see golden eyes in December do a mating dance and stuff like that. People don't know that happens. People don't understand how geese are territorial, yet they're a social animal. And when I sit in a blind at 5 a.m. in the morning waiting for the sun to come up, and, you know, Orion is rising in the eastern sky and moving across the sky, and the anticipation of that maybe opening day hunt is extremely powerful. And the waterfowl we see, and the wild animals, and the deer coming down to the local ponds or the creeks or wherever it is we are hunting, that adds to everything, between cloud formations to other animals, and also to harvesting the game that we're out there to harvest too. So it's all a big thrill.
Yeah, it sounds pretty thrilling, and I do have a lot of friends that hunt, although I've never gone out, but it always sounds like it'd be an awesome time, you know, more than anything. So you hunt just bird?
Yeah, well, for me, I decided to launch a TV show. Mm-hmm. And the genesis of that was I met a fellow who was filming, and they were a big U.S. company who was filming in Canada. And I had permission for a field, and they wanted to get some footage, and I basically gave them the field to hunt. And they invited me in to hunt with them, and I got to know this gentleman. And I got talking about hunting in Ireland, and they said, man, we've never seen a show filmed in Ireland. Would you take us back there? So I brought them back to Ireland and filmed three hunting shows with them, and I guided them and kind of co-hosted the show. And then I got interested in it, and I thought, oh, maybe I could do that, you know, and maybe I could put it on local TV in Windsor area. And next thing I know, I got in touch with a national broadcaster who broadcasts on satellite TV and regular cable. They broadcast on all major services across Canada. And I got in touch with them, and they loved the show and the concept. And they said, well, when are we ready to go? So I began knocking on doors, finding some sponsors, and went ahead and launched on national TV like 5 years ahead of plan.
And you're in, what, was it the third season you got coming up here?
Third season. Okay. We're filming for third season right now. They are running repeats this year, which mm-hmm. is kind of a compliment to me. I was surprised that they ran my show in January, and I'm on for another 6 months this year. Cool. On Well TV right now. And yeah, we're filming and editing right now for season three, and we've got better cameras, better software, and we're just equipped better. We've learned a lot. I mean, the first year and the second year was basically a major learning curve, and I'm I'm not saying we're never going to learn more, but I think that the bulk of the work is done. And basically, that's a quick story of how you and I met. I was editing some of my first season, and I couldn't get the audio to work on one file, and I had uploaded something like 160 gig of data, and I just dumped it, deleted it all, and reloaded it again, and still couldn't get the audio to work, and I dumped it and reloaded it again. And then I had a friend who is related to you, and I called you and said, I need some help. And I had never met you before. And I have to say, you were very accommodating. You really helped me out a lot. And you had me do lots of complex things on the computer that I can't remember how to do as we spoke over the phone. And we finally got it running, and you saved me a lot of stress, because I was stressing at the time thinking, how am I going to deliver to the TV channel? And you kind of got me out of trouble there, so I really appreciate that.
Cool. Always glad to help out. We're going to talk more about the show a little later and after the break as well, and I want to talk a little bit more about hunting right now. What's the season for hunting, what you do, hunting fowl?
Correct. That's a good question. Well, there are a number of seasons with different limits during each season. We have what we call a late season for geese, and it just finished on Saturday. So that opened on the 26th of February and closed on the 4th or 5th of March, the 5th of March. And the purpose of that season is to basically harvest resident geese, because some geese don't follow the natural pattern, and they don't migrate. Excuse me.
That's right.
So some geese don't follow the pattern and migrate. So there's a special season to harvest those geese.
Okay. Now, aside from the season, I'll shut your mic there for a second if you want to clear that out. What about licensing? What type of licensing is involved to actually hunt? Is it a regular hunter's license, or is it something different for the game that you hunt, or?
Well, in Canada, we have to have what's called a small game license. And when you have your small game license, then you can purchase other licenses on top of, and in addition to that.
Okay.
And the duck license is different than all other licenses in that it's federal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you buy your duck stamp, you can hunt anywhere across the nation of Canada. And there is a waterfowl treaty between Mexico, America and Canada, because obviously migratory game migrates through all three countries right across the continent, unlike any other animal. I mean, it's not like white-tailed deer or any other animals would migrate like that, but migratory mm-hmm. birds do. So there is special restrictions in licensing. And back to the question of seasons, our season basically opens in September with an early goose season. And again, that's for resident geese, and it's to push geese south, because they'll stay and reside in areas because people feed them in parks, and they'll stay in open water, and they won't migrate and follow their natural pattern. And then on the 25th of September, roughly, give or take a day, normal duck season and goose season opens and stays open till pretty well January 11th. So it's a late fall, a winter sport, and you have to be tough sometimes to brave the weather. I mean, we will hunt birds in minus 20 degrees Celsius, and we will lie in a snowbank for the entire day. And
See, that's all the fun stuff I hear about.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun, and it doesn't sound like fun, but it is. And my wife came out and filmed the show for me about a year and a half ago on opening day of goose season, early September. And after the show, she said, well, now I kind of understand why you come out here. She said, I didn't realize you guys talked so much. You had so much fun. And, you know, there was so much making fun of each other. And all the fun we have, it wasn't just a serious thing, you know.
Sure, all the camaraderie.
And there's a lot of skill, too. There's a language, right? So if we sure. want to call geese, we call a certain way when they're a set distance away, or with ducks. So you got to learn the language, and then you have to learn the skill of actually blowing that duck or goose call and talking to those animals. And when you know the animals are heading in a completely different direction, to speak to them in their language, attract them to you, and like bring them in and settle them to the ground 6 feet in front of you.
You ever have an actual conversation with them,
conversations. But you know, geese are a social animal, and yeah. they like to congregate. They're a gregarious animal, and you know, you got to speak to them in their language and attract them. And basically, that's what you do. You fool them.
Now, moving away from one animal to another, I want to talk a little bit about about dog training, retriever training, and your DVD, actually.
That's a really good question. You know, I hunted for many years in Ireland, and I didn't know what I was doing when it came to dogs. And then I came over to Canada, and bought a dog and bought a book. And then as I bought this book, I began to learn, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I could do this. I didn't know what was available to me. And then I got to know a bunch of people who were in that game who liked retriever training, and I said, hey, please teach me what to do here. I really didn't have an idea what to do. So some really experienced people took me under their wing and taught me a lot. And then through more reading and competing, and I competed across a little bit of Ontario, really at a junior level, and then went back to Ireland and competed at the national level and then came back. Now I don't compete so much anymore. I'm kind of happy with the understanding of dog training that I have. Mm-hmm. I realize I'm never going to become a national champion trainer in Canada because the commitment is just too much. And with a family, with a wife and four children and lots of work, you know, I'm busy at work too. I just can't commit that much time. So what I do is I train dogs to a very high expert level for hunting. And that's what my DVD represents. It's basically retriever training for hunters, and it focuses on hunters and what hunters need. And as with anything humans do, whenever we begin competitions or any kind of measurable or metric, we always go to the extreme. And field trials and retriever trials tend to go to a very complex extreme in order to separate great dogs from good dogs and good dogs from poor dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't need that when we're hunting. We just need an excellent hunting partner who's probably a family pet too. And that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on a very gentle way of training, and it works. People like it, and I send DVDs to all over the U.S., Europe, and all across Canada.
We'll make sure listeners know where they can get that DVD if they want to check that out, and also where to find you on the internet. But the competing that you did, it was all dog-based, retriever-based. It wasn't actual hunting competition of some kind, or like?
No, that's a good question. The regular structured field trials are basically dog-based, mm-hmm. and they set up very technical tests for dogs.
Okay.
And when I say technical, there are certain things that dogs will tend to do, and basically we train them to do what they wouldn't typically do.
Right.
So we train them to swim beside a shore instead of running on the shore, because we need them to follow a straight line, and we teach them to follow hand signals. However, there is also the HRC, and that organization mimics hunting in that you are dressed in camouflage and you actually shoot a gun even though it has a blank.
Mm-hmm.
So we mimic throwing birds and releasing birds and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So I guess the game really, the competitions span both realms, really. One from a very technical dog-based exercise, and the other to maybe mimicking more of a hunting-based exercise.
When you talk about the, you want the dogs to be while swimming a straight line, I guess. What's the difference if he's on line and on land and following the water, as opposed to being in it?
Well, that's a really good question, actually, because what happens is we would throw a dummy or a bird, and the dog would see that. Somebody maybe 200 yards across a pond mm-hmm. would throw that bird high into the air and shoot a gun at the same time, and the dog would see that. That's called a mark.
Right.
The dog would mark that down. Well, the dog marks it in context with his environment. So if the dog doesn't run a straight line, if he runs 10 feet or 20 feet to the left or the right, then the context which where the bird landed is completely different, and all his reference points are thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
So the success rate of him finding the bird gets lower the farther offline he goes. So
okay.
the tactic is to train your dog to run through obstacles. You know, you might have a 6-foot wide pond of water. I mean, a dog would normally skirt that. We train our dogs to go through the middle of it
mm-hmm.
or 1 foot through the edge of it if necessary, because the minute he goes offline, the success rate will plummet. And we also teach dogs to do that on blind retrieves. We will hide a dummy or a bird 300, 200 yards out in the field, and the dog won't know it's there. And you give the dog a hand signal, and then the dog must run a straight line.
And all this information is actually found on the DVD?
Yeah, the DVD is pretty comprehensive. Again, it's not going to make anybody an international champion or some kind of national champion. Again, it's focused on hunters. I've trained the dog on the DVD within a half a mile of my home, and I used local settling ponds in subdivisions and soccer fields and baseball fields. I did not use any high-tech locations which are designed to train dogs, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't go foreign I didn't drive any distances to get the special water setups or land setups. I trained these dogs all within half a mile of my house specifically, so people who are busy can come home and in 10 minutes a day can train in excellent retriever just by following the steps I've put in there. And there's a lot of information to do in that, a lot of background information. So I tell people, look, just do what I tell you in the order I tell you, because there's a lot of background points and references and science behind what I'm telling you. And if I had to explain all that in a DVD, it'd be 10 hours. But the right. DVD, I think, is just over 2 hours.
Okay, I'm talking to Dave Goodison, the Canadian Wing Shooter, on You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and we'll come back to the TV show, The Canadian Wing Shooter, on 99.1 FM, CJAM, in Windsor and Detroit.
Why go anywhere else when you could stay right here for 2011? Enhance your university and campus experience by living in residence and enjoy all-inclusive costs, safety and security, 24/7 support, the convenience of a meal plan, and guaranteed scholarships for high academic achievers. University of Windsor Residence, it's the right choice. Visit us online at uwindsor.ca/residence for more information.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back. My guest today on You Talking to Me is Dave Goodison, the Canadian Wing Shooter, and we're talking about hunting. Let's talk about the show, The Canadian Wing Shooter.
Yeah, people can visit my website at www.canadianwingshooter.com. And the concept of wing shooting means to shoot birds whilst they're in the air. And except for turkey, that's really what we do. The show launched across Canada, national coverage, January 2010. And we've been on for the entire year of 2010. And we're on air currently right now and editing and filming content for season 3, which will go on January 2012.
Okay, so let's back up just a little bit, I guess. The website, what ever got you interested in actually putting up the website? You know, you're hunting and so forth, but then you kind of decide at some point you want people to see this stuff, you want to go public to some degree and whatnot. So how did that come about?
That's a good question. Well, JD, what really happened there was the website is an offshoot from the TV show. I think the TV show is the core of everything public about what I do, right? I'm a very private hunter normally. You know, I like to have my dogs well-trained, and I like to sometimes hunt alone. But when I decided to launch a TV show, then I basically needed a website. And in order to try and fund the website, that's why I produced the dog training DVD, just to help maybe pay to keep the website on air. But the website also has lots of articles, and I write articles about training dogs and how to teach them, just regular obedience. Mm-hmm. or advanced hunting skills, so that if people have questions on the DVD, they can come to the website. So rather than packaging up a book and sending it with the DVD, I thought, hey, why not use technology? Anybody anywhere in the world can look at my articles and can say, yeah, you know what, I like the way this guy trains dogs, I'm going to follow his principles. And they don't even really need the DVD, they can still read the articles. But a lot of people like to purchase the DVD and then back it up with the articles. And as people ask me questions and write to me, then I'll write new articles. Right. And when I see common questions coming, I'll just write new articles and put them up to support people.
So how was the show received when you first started it?
Well, it was received well, I think, and we only launched just a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And really not much happened. We went on air. I got a lot of, I think I got 2 or 3 negative comments in the last year by people emailing me, but mainly people compliment the show because it's down to earth, regular guys. I always try not to use the word average because I don't like to class the people who are on there as average, but I do like to class them as regular, and they're excellent people who do an excellent job, but they're regular guys and we all have jobs. Mm-hmm. Some other shows came down to the local area and went to some very private exclusive marshes that really I couldn't afford to hunt on, when the same weekend I was hunting out on public land and basically fighting for the birds I got. And that's what we're about. We're not about exclusivity. We're not about high cost. We want to show people that you don't need a lot to do this, and you can do it excellently at an excellent level, and you don't need to be part of an exclusive club. And that's how we live our lives, and that's what we just represent on TV, and people enjoy it.
Well, one thing I'm sure that you do need, you know, when you're working on this project is time. So it's probably important to mention that your wife allows you some freedom there to do what you do, because I know you have a family and everything, and you spend time on this, and that's pretty important that everybody's supportive.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And my wife, she's a lovely woman. I've been married to my wife for 22 years. We came to Canada together when I was 23. We emigrated here. Mm-hmm. We were going to get married in Ireland, actually, but couldn't because I had papers to emigrate and she didn't. Okay. So they would have taken my papers if I got married in Ireland, because I would have invalidated my application information. So we came to Canada. We got married here. We have four children, all born in Canada. We love this country. I'm proud to be Canadian. I tell people I am Canadian. And my wife bought me a t-shirt before. It had that logo on the front. I am Canadian, because I am Canadian. I love North America. I love North American culture. Canada has accepted me, and I have really done well in Canada. I suit the social system here. I love the country. It's the, you know, no slight to the U.S. The U.S. may come in as a close second, but Canada is the greatest country on the planet, and I make no apologies for that.
Hey, I agree with you. Now, you, I got to mention, too, Dave brought me a couple of hats. They're awesome. One's a camo hat, and the other one is from one of your sponsors, Beavertail.
Yeah, good. That's good that you bring it up. Beavertail are a company that make boats and motors and hunting equipment, and these people are out of Minnesota, USA, and they are fantastic people. They've really treated me well, and I've actually signed contracts with big TV companies and launched a national TV show, yet I've never signed a contract with Beavertail, and they have never let me down. And these people work on a shake of a hand. You know, they're just classic Midwesterners, and they're good U.S. people, and I love dealing with them, and I have a lot of respect for them. And I'm not a guy who likes to turn my show into an infomercial. My show is all about reality. It's all about, you know, dealing with the real things that happen, and when my truck gets stuck hunting, or I, you know, a farmer comes out and asks me to leave a field because his horse was scared, all those kind of things, and we show it all on camera.
Right.
But the one thing is, I don't think I'm really selling out by saying Beavertail are classic people, and they really are, because they're my only major sponsor. I couldn't be on TV without them. I've never even signed a contract, and they treat me good. And
more support, and that's what you need.
Yeah.
How about my outdoor TV? What is that?
My Outdoor TV is there's a link on my website to that, and basically it's an internet TV channel who just been bought out by one of the major U.S. TV channels, or regular channels, by the Outdoor Channel, and it's basically a growing industry that is internet TV. You can stream all my season one shows right now on My Outdoor TV, and I somewhat edit them down. I kind of cheat there a little bit, because like to fill up an entire show, we need a half an hour show, and I'll interview certain people and we'll talk about things, but what I do is I edit some of that content out to make the My Outdoor TV show a little bit more impactful. So the shows range on TV for actual runtime 22 and a half minutes. My Outdoor TV shows, when I re-edit them, anywhere from 12 minutes to 19 minutes, just to make them a little bit more impactful, and, you know, maybe cut out some of the intros.
I think some of the attention span on the for internet watching is a little shorter as
That's what I was thinking, because you can index forward, right? So, you know, people want that quick fix when they're on the internet, just like on YouTube, right? Like I get something in the range of 60,000 hits on YouTube every month, and I learned quickly not to put long clips up on YouTube.
Right.
So I design all my clips up there at about 3.5 minutes, so people can get it in 3.5. I call it YouTubers the junkies of the internet world.
Well, something to keep in mind, I think, is the fact that a lot of people, even the stuff from YouTube, a lot of them download, or they have software that downloads that stuff and change it to another format where they can throw it on their on an iPod or something that views these things and watch it on the go. They don't want commercials. They want to, you know, short and sweet, like you say. How about callingducks.com?
Yeah, that's basically the same. I mean, the callingducks.com, they have live streaming TV on
same
there too.
Okay.
Their focus is a little bit different. My Outdoor TV is a broad spectrum of hunting. Callingducks.com is mainly about waterfowling, and it's also about calling competitions. Many people probably wouldn't know, but there is a world championship of duck calling and world championship of goose calling.
You didn't bring any of the things with you, did you?
No, I didn't bring any calls.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at launching my own line of duck calls and goose calls and all that kind of stuff.
That's what I was going to ask you about next. Yeah, you're branding your own.
Yeah, trying to brand my own. I'm thinking probably by the summer I'll have everything launched in relation to that. But JD, as you understand, things are busy, right? I got so much editing to do and filming to do, and people always calling me, can you come film our event? And, you know, I like to support the youth. Last year, just south of London, we went to the Fingal Youth Hunting Day, and I filmed a lot of those kids, and I like to give them camera time, right? That's another thing our show is about, is not about a host who's an expert and who's a really good guy. It's about everybody you hunt with. And like I was hunting on Lake St. Clair one day. And I was in a blind that was obviously owned by somebody else, but it's legal.
Explain blind for people.
Just, blind is yeah. is a covered, a little, not a room so much, as it's just a covered area where you stand in behind cover and it makes you blind to the animals.
Right.
We just call that a blind. And this gentleman came out to his blind and he says, hey, I got my camera set up here. We're hunting out of a boat just over there. And he said, oh, that's great. And I said, well, would you like to hunt with us? And he said, sure. So I interviewed him. I never met the guy before, right? And I don't know any other nationally broadcast TV shows where a retired teacher can walk out in 2 feet of water, get involved in a TV show, do a bunch of interviews, and I send him edited DVDs, and he's really happy with that, right? That's what we're about. We're just sure. about the regular guys. That's what we are.
That's real reality TV. And what about your pro staffers? You have people, what is it, across Canada or across the country?
Across Canada
or
and the U.S.
U.S.
Yeah,
North
I've launched pro staffers. I have pro staffers in the Dakotas, in Kansas, Carolinas, everywhere, and all across Canada. And these mm-hmm. Pro staffer is really an abbreviation for promotional staff.
Yep.
And these people like the show, they like the brand, they like the image, and they partner with me. And we'll be launching a whole line of T-shirts and hoodies and hats.
Do they shoot some stuff as well?
Yeah, the idea is that I want to give them some camera time because, like, I'm so busy, I got to go find birds. That's not an easy thing to do. I put a lot of kilometers on the truck and a lot of gasoline. I think I keep 25% of Saudi Arabia supplying oil sometimes. But what we do is, what I say to my pro staffers is, look, if you got some really hot fields or hot ponds in some areas, give me a call. I'm going to try and come down with you. I'm going to film you, and then you can co-host that show. So to give them a little bit of camera time, they help me find content, good quality content. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a win-win situation. And I'm hoping that they help me with sponsorship because I launched, 2 years ago, basically, in the worst economic downturn since the 1930s.
Right.
And trying to get sponsorship was extremely difficult, especially because I only launched in Canada. A lot of U.S. companies think, well, you know, Canada's smaller than any one of our states. Why would we advertise up there? But I need to get that foothold and basically get on to bigger things. So this year, I'm putting a big push on in the U.S. to try and launch on a U.S. TV channel
good,
also.
Good time with the change in the auto industry and this new film industry picking up in Michigan and everything, and I think that's, you know, that's where things are going. What advice would you give to folks that are just starting out in the sport of hunting?
Well, the one advice I'd give to them is try and find other people who are into hunting. And that's another thing I talk about on my show all the time. I always tell people on the show, bring a friend out hunting if he wants to come hunting, or bring a boy or a girl or a young kid out hunting when they're starting. And on my show, many people have shot their first bird on my show. Again, you never see that happen anywhere because most shows want to go in and kill the most animals possible. You know, they want to go to exclusive areas that maybe some 14-year-old kid can't afford to go. That's not the way with us. We bring kids out and we get them, and adults, and we get them their first bird. Last year, I had a friend out. Well, he was a friend's friend, and he had been hunting for 2 solid years and never shot a bird. And he got his first bird the first day with me. I was very proud of that. So
good stuff.
Get to know people in the game, and they'll help you out.
Cool. Maybe you can share your contact info again, your website address, and that. We're out of time here, so I want to make sure we get that in again.
Yeah, www.canadianwingshooter.com. Drop over and send me an email and watch some of the clips on YouTube.
All right, Dave, I really appreciate you being on, you talking to me.
Thank you, Big JD. Appreciate it.
And although I don't hunt, I have many friends that do, it's always sounded fun and exciting, and I've just never gone, even though I'm asked to join them all the time. And if not for the actual sport of the hunt, even the getaway camaraderie, like Dave has mentioned, the trips sound like a great time. So whether you're an avid hunter or just getting into it, check out CanadianWingShooter.com and you'll find stories, resources, and links and to my guest's show. And next week, what it takes to run 99.1 FM, CJAM. I'll have our station manager, program director on the show, along with a couple others that help keep CJM well-oiled and running smooth. And you don't want to miss that. So this is you talking to me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.
chilled vinyl in the discount bargain bin. I'm used, and I'm used to you, I'm used to you, ooh, ooh.